We greet Saint Philomena, who is the patroness of the children of Mary. In last week's show, we spoke of how the dowry of Mary, namely England, is Mary's property. But in the light of all that was said of them having everything in common, that what belongs to Mary also belongs to Saint Joseph. We said how the dowry of Mary, England, belongs to Saint Joseph. England is Saint Joseph's property. And we look now at a testimony which helps us to understand how the devotion to royal Saint Joseph, which is a devotion, a prayer, asking Saint Joseph to restore Mary's dowry. We'll look how this came about. I'm going to read a testimony from the person who received this grace, this devotion, who would like to remain anonymous. So this is about the conversion of England through Saint Joseph. So we read now the testimony. When I returned to the Catholic Church in 1993, a dear little soul took me under her wing. She was German by descent, but had lived in England for many years. Her husband had died, so she lived alone with visits from her sons and Catholic friends. We shared devotion to Mary and all the saints, and chuckled, talked, and shared little soul things. One of those things was an idea that I would build a national shrine to Saint Joseph. She promptly gave me £10 towards it. I have held that contribution in trust. I was disappointed and happy to discover that there was already a national shrine to Saint Joseph at Farnborough, and so visited Saint Joseph in thanksgiving. However, there is a difference between a national shrine to Saint Joseph and the use of it. Presently, it is not visited that often and not that well known. I pray this will now change. My other regular destination is the Shrine of Our Lady of Walsingham, or Our Lady of England, as I like to refer to her. In making regular trips there, I began another journey one summer, I believe in 2012, which led me to writing the following poem whilst on holiday near Walsingham, actually a place called Weyburn, not far away, where there used to be a Catholic friary, home of Our Lady of Weyburn. This is a poem called The Gathering Rose. Can you hear the gentle fall of whispers from heaven as they soak the stained red grass of our England's incensed past? Two voices, one stronger than the other, are drawn from Peterborough's beacon, although inhabited falsely by Henry's caste. The soft voice of Spanish, still merciful, utters forgiveness, thus keeping heaven's sun shining where lust had laden her cloud. The other old English voice, softer still, purgated by the spirit of gentleness, now seeks grace, conversion, not too loud. The French planted her voice, her soil in England. Oh, how the French smile from heaven, having won a stealthy 100 years' war. These three bodiless voices encircle the sore, white, majestic heart of a fourth whose body aches to hold England once more. Their voices now plead for a revived champion to carry the Catholic torch to the world, with their fair maiden as their head. Land so wounded, sick, and falling, resist not the cries of murdered doctors whose blood spilled in a remedy from the dead. The voices have moved the gaze of those angelic eyes towards her son king, whose mirrored gaze turns the father's waiting hand. So the trumpet has sounded, signaled from the king's throne, for the mother's queen's angels to gather her trails to cover the land. And now, you downcast flock, at the unexpected time, turn your eyes to heaven and watch in waiting as your impure surroundings melt. The centuries' martyrs' voices have been joined by those feminine whispers whose graves hitherto ignored will now be mightily felt. So let us gather once more to Walsingham with a not-so-surprising guest and follow this humble man's voice, smaller still. He has rebuilt her house with holy skills to undo those ungrateful desires of him who tried to destroy a once-loved Nazareth hill. So from this house, restored by voices, an immaculate light will heal a glowing England, proudly carrying a dowry to impart. And thus once again, a fair white-clad bride will joyfully bend to England's green grass and pick a red rose drawn to her grateful heart. That's the poem, The Gathering Rose. The testimony now continues. I completely forgot about this poem until recent events. Now the poem seems to have stayed with me without me knowing it. In the summer of 2015, I began another journey, as if by impulse, but I now see similar to the one described in the poem. More of that later. But now I must tell you who is described in the poem. The reference to Peterborough is to the Spanish Catherine of Aragon, whose plight as a significant Catholic of England touched me, and this sentiment was with me when I visited her tomb at Peterborough Cathedral. The activity of her husband before God was not lost on me at this visit. I had before me England's suffering from modern ills, which I believe stemmed from his sin. This visit was on the way to Walsingham. But before I had visited her tomb and prayed to her, I had visited another significant lady whose visit to England ended in a tomb. The Empress Eugenie, who had Lourdes reopened after it was closed, and whose son was cured by Lourdes' holy water, had come to England to escape the aftermath of the Franco-Prussian failure. She moved to Farnborough in 1879 after the death of her husband, Emperor Napoleon III, and death of her son in a tragic incident in the Zulu Wars. What is significant about Farnborough is that it is enclosed, a piece of Catholic land dominated by a beautiful church dedicated to St. Michael the Archangel and home of the crowned statue of St. Joseph, the national shrine statue originally owned by the Mill Hill missionaries. I enjoyed going through a gate and entering a land which was Catholic, a portent, I believe, of things to come in the future. As to the second voice in the poem, I am at a loss, except on two accounts. One, it could be a reference to Mary, Queen of Scots, who was initially buried at Peter.